"Here we go," I said, wondering for the first time what thoughts had passed through Hassan's head when he had finally read the Shahnameh for himself and discovered that I had deceived him all those times. I cleared my throat and read. "Give ear unto the combat of Sohrab against Rustam, though it be a tale replete with tears," I began. "It came about that on a certain day Rustam rose from his couch, and his mind was filled with forebodings. He bethought him..." I read him most of chapter 1, up to the part where the young warrior Sohrab comes to his mother, Tahmina, the princess of Samangan, and demands to know the identity of his father. I closed the book. "Do you want me to go on? There are battles coming up, remember? Sohrab leading his army to the White Castle in Iran. Should I read on?" He shook his head slowly. I dropped the book back in the paper bag. "That's fine," I said, encouraged that he had responded at all. "Maybe we can continue tomorrow. How do you feel?" Sohrab's mouth opened and a hoarse sound came out. Dr. Nawaz had told me that would happen, on account of the breathing tube they had slit through his vocal cords. He licked his lips and tried again. "Tired," he said. "I know, Dr. Nawaz said that was to be expected," I began. He was shaking his head. "What, Sohrab?" He winced when he spoke again in that husky voice, barely above a whisper. "Tired of everything," he said. I sighed and slumped in my chair. There was a band of sunlight on the bed between us, and for just a moment, the ashen gray Chinese doll face looking at me from the other side of it was a dead ringer for Hassan's. Not the Hassan I chased down our hill as the sun dipped behind clay rooftops in the west, but the Hassan I saw alive for the last time, dragging his belongings behind Ali in a warm summer downpour, stuffing them in the trunk of Baba's car while I watched through the rain-soaked window of my room. He gave a slow shake of his head. "Tired of everything," he repeated. "What can I do, Sohrab? Please tell me," I said. "I want..." he began. He winced again and brought his hand to his throat as if to clear whatever was blocking his voice. My eyes were drawn again to his wrist, wrapped tightly with white gauze bandages. "I want my old life back," he breathed. "Oh, Sohrab. I want father and mother John. I want Sasa. I want to play with Rahim Khan Sahib in the garden. I want to live in our house again." He dragged his forearm across his eyes. "I want my old life back." I didn't know what to say, where to look, so I gazed down at my hands. "Your old life," I thought. "My old life, too. I played in the same yard, Sohrab. I lived in the same house. But the grass is dead and a stranger's jeep is parked in the driveway of our house, pissing oil all over the asphalt. Our old life is gone, Sohrab, and everyone in it is either dead or dying. It's just you and me now, just you and me." "I can't give you that," I said. "I wish you hadn't." "Please don't say that," I said. "Wish you hadn't. I wish you had left me in the water." "Don't ever say that, Sohrab," I said, leaning forward. "I can't bear to hear you talk like that."